This, the questions asked have things that are about social and vocational issues rather than academic and knowledge-based issues. Kind of an important point, I think.
Yeah, and it seems to me that one would be highly suspicious that the asking of those kinds of questions on social and political attitudes and issues and on vocational issues would be designed, one assumes, to find out if there's anybody in that classroom setting that does not agree with the presuppositions of the New World Order and that maybe has had a little bit too much parental influence or too much influence on the behalf of a conservative Christian church or something like this, and that in turn, when that's identified, one presumes that the educational system would then be about the business of trying to, in the best sense of what the old Soviet Union used to do, to re-educate students in the values that the central state and the New World Order want them to have.
Exactly. And I'm going to get back to some of the other components of the new system that was put in that was suggested to be put in 1992 and was implemented in 1994 and 1998. But we're just talking a little bit about how the educational community presents themselves to the public. And I have mentioned earlier that there are many words within the educational system that mean a different thing than what the general public understands them to mean. And one of the more important words is the word voluntary. Now, the federal government knows that we have a 10th Amendment still, so that when mandates come down from the federal government, they always come down with the idea of voluntary. And and what it means is you can accept the system if you want to, but you don't have to if you wish not to. So, but the idea is that when these systems come down from the federal government, they always come down with seed money, some sort of a carrot of money that the legislatures just can't turn down. That happens to be over $200 million in the state of Minnesota. Pretty hard for the legislators to take exception to getting on that type of a program. So, but when you talk about voluntary, it really is only voluntary until you take the first dollar of federal money. Then you must comply with all of the federal programs. So those people who are working in alternate education systems need to be careful that when they accept people into the system, that they are using private money rather than federal money. Because if the federal, if a student can be traced back as to using federal money, then that system, no matter where it is located, has to comply or can be made to comply with the federal laws.
Classic example of this. I was in past years doing some postgraduate work at a very fine school, Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. I happen to be a Lutheran pastor, not a Reformed pastor, but I selected Westminster because of its historic academic excellence. And if you go back into history, the founder of Westminster Seminary was a guy named J. Gresham Machen, M-A-C-H-E-N. And Machen was considered at one point to be probably the most prominent evangelical theologian and educator, at least in the first part of the 20th century, in the United States. He had come from Princeton Theological Seminary, split with them over what was happening at Princeton, even in the 1920s. Machen and a few other guys like Dr. Oswald T. Alice and Robert Dick Wilson then founded Westminster Theological Seminary. But the point for this conversation is that J. Gresham Machen, on numerous occasions, apparently testified before the United States Congress on, for example, the dangers of establishing a federal Department of Education. And Machen was saying things going back decades ago, dealing with all of the dangers as he saw it at that time that were creeping up in American educational circles that, for lack of a better term, were going to Sovietize things. Now we're in a circumstance where Westminster Theological Seminary, along with many other Christian schools of that type, is involved in the federal student loan program. And undoubtedly, that has been a backdoor way of regulating those types of schools. We'll be back with James S. Rugg. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. Hello, this is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. And James, I just wanted to tell you a little story that happened to me a few years ago, and then you can interact with it. I'm at Westminster Theological Seminary. I had just completed a very, very fine graduate course in a couple of different areas. One dealt with the Lutheran Confessions, another dealt with the Reformed Confessions of the 16th century and the whole issue of the Protestant Reformation generally. The guy teaching that course at that time, who is a fantastic church historian, is, interestingly enough, now the president of that fine school, and he's a very great guy, by the way. His name is Dr. Peter Lilback. But after having had one of his courses, and I did very well in the course, I subsequently had a note in my mailbox at Westminster Theological Seminary, and it was a form. And it was obviously a form that had to have been prepared by some of the denizens of the federal educational establishment. And it was asking me to rate this professor, and not simply as far as what I thought of the course content, but it was asking me whether or not I thought he was sensitive to gender-related issues in the classroom, whether or not I thought he was sensitive to the needs of the students in the classroom that might be members of certain racial and ethnic and nationalistic categories. There was not a question on there about sexual orientation. Maybe they scratched that one off since they knew they were dealing with a Protestant evangelical seminary. But the long and the short of it is that I was asked to inform somebody in the educational Gestapo in regard to what I thought this guy's social and political attitudes might be in areas that had nothing to do with the course that he was teaching. Given the fact that this was going on at J. Gresham Machen's Westminster Theological Seminary, I thought this was a pretty scary thing, and I basically indicated that on the written form that I returned. What's your take on this?
Well, I think this is an example of what is happening in our collegial system. And what we're doing is we're creating a mindset and a base of knowledge that skews what you expected it to be, and I think what most people expected it should be. And it's just an example of the change in thinking that has come through the entire system. It's really important to understand that this just didn't happen in K-12 education. This happened long before that in the collegial system, this whole change in the way education is to be presented, because you have to train the teachers before you train the students. So it's probably a way in which they were trying to bring to the fore a little skew in the way the system is presented.
What do you make of the whole thing, and maybe this gets back to Mark Tucker's National Center for Economics and Education again, as I was looking through some of the elements in his program, as you outlined them to me in a document that you sent me, I came across one that said counselors to be provided for all students. Now, I did some years in both private and public education growing up in the K-12 system. I did some years in the Missouri Synod Lutheran system, also was involved for some years in secular private academies as well as public schools. But I remember that my public school counselor back in Dayton, Ohio, for one of my years of high school, great guy, by the way, when I would go to see him, it was almost inevitably to make sure that I was taking, I had been put in the so-called college preparatory section. He simply reviewed the course selections to make sure that what I was registering for matched up with college prep, and then he would sign the form, and that was pretty much it. And regardless of what one might think of that system, certainly the guy was not delving into my psychological profile. He wasn't asking me what my parents' attitudes might be in certain social and political and spiritual areas. Neither was he asking me those kinds of questions. Now, it seems today, from what I'm picking up on, that a lot of the counselors in the public school system are not simply signing off on what a particular child is supposed to be taking in school, but they begin delving into all kinds of other arenas in that child's life and thought processes that would have been considered out of bounds even 30 years ago. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, it's so easy to get off on a side issue on these things. I do want to talk about that. First, I think I should just run through the rest of the items that were listed on this letter that Hillary
sure.
Clinton received.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
That'll help to for the your audience to understand a little bit about what was going on. I've
sure.
already mentioned the changing the high school system and eliminating the last year of high school and creating a one-year college system paid for by the government. The next one was to create a community service system. And I think that if anybody goes to their school system today, they'll see a big push toward community service. Now, I'm not against community service.
Can I stop you just for a minute? Is it your understanding that this kind of a community service system is kind of a local version of what some people want to see in regard to national mandatory service?
The idea is to infiltrate into the mind of individuals that their mission is not only their personal mission of how they want to proceed in life, but that they must think of the community. And that's kind of this whole idea of that Hillary Clinton put forth to widen your concepts toward a international concept rather than a national concept or a local concept.
Yes.
Then standards and exams for 20 broad occupational areas. This is interesting because did you know that there's a National Standards Skills Board that whose purpose was to develop the vocations that would be taught in each state? And each state has a list that they have prepared through a public-private partnership to give to the federal government and get their approval on what vocations would be taught in an individual state. And each state has their own list. There are about 14 of them, 12 or 14 of them in the state of Minnesota. If you go to your National Standards Skills Board, you'll find a list of the vocations that are to be taught in your own state. Now, many of those vocations do not happen to fall in line with what a particular person might want to do, but that's too bad because this narrows your the choice of the system that you have within a system.
In Minnesota, for example, what might a few of these occupational areas be?
Well, as I'm talking about this, I'll look it up for you.
Sure.
I've got it somewhere in my list of things. Anyway, this is important because there are several things that are going on. This brings up the point of private and public partnerships, which are in a they're being pushed heavily in the system today. And what this means basically is that the government gets its toe in the door of private industry. And that's part of what this educational system is all about. It's the school to work program is to bring business into the system. And they would become a part the school to work program is a I'm trying to find this other thing to answer your question. In Minnesota, what they're calling these vocations are career clusters. In Minnesota, they're very broad areas, but they have, for example, manufacturing, hospitality and tourism, media communications, electronics, human services, transportation, etc. Now, it doesn't have issues like bioindustry, senior living, environmental technology. These are all from items that I picked up from other states' programs. Engineering, education, natural resources, entrepreneurship, metalworking. These are all areas that are not included in the Minnesota list. So it's important to understand that what this does is limit and lower the choices that students have as they go through the educational system.
And it's basically a centrally planned system where corporate and governmental interests are basically dictating what individual kids are going to be doing within that system.
Exactly. And there's a big push toward, and you notice that Bill Gates and his many dollars have been used to try to rework the high school system. And part of the idea is the trend has been toward very large high schools, for example. The idea is to break those up into smaller groups within each school, like three or four different groups, and apply one of these career clusters to each of the groups, and so that by the time a child is in the eighth grade, they will select one of these career clusters, which will be their future as a worker. And then the three or four schools within the larger group would focus on one of these career clusters. And so that, again, you lose the choice that you would have as an individual that came from the older system.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He is a member of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. James, we were talking about this whole issue then of having a centrally planned, centrally managed educational structures that are basically earmarking people for specific things at a very early age. In other words, there's the one earmark that you cited going back to Tucker's National Center for Economics and Education and its so-called standards and ideas, that you would have 80% of students going through the American K through 12 educational system that would be very early on directed toward vocations and not toward an academically based education and not toward college. Then before the break, I think you mentioned that a lot of these centralized decisions that are made by these governmental business partnerships and so forth and exerting their control through the educational system would involve having kids making choices or having choices made for them by the time they're, say, in the eighth grade.
That's correct. That's the way the system was designed. And, you know, just to keep going through this thing, and we can take each of these areas, and we could probably spend another hour on each one.
Yes.
But as I go through the list here, all students must pass a basic skills test to move further on their education. Now, basically, there's one test that has to be passed, and it's a federal guideline that they are using in this test. And they start taking this test early in their high school experience. And once they pass it, that's all they have to pass to get out of high school. So then we have a system of labor market boards, which are part of the school-to-work program. Again, that's another issue we could talk about. And all jobs will be listed in the system. The federal government has an analysis of each job that is supposed to be available in our entire system. And they are, you know, they're really not compatible with reality, much of what is in those jobs. If you ever have a chance to get Professor Alan Quest on the radio, he has written a couple of very good books about education.
You know, Quist, this is kind of a sidelight in terms of what we're talking about, but Quist visited my congregation in Seattle one time. I was pastoring an independent Lutheran church up there, and I was also on a 50,000-watt Christian radio station. And one time he and his wife came into my church to worship, introduced themselves, and that was the first time I'd ever met him. And as I recall this, he is the same Alan Quist who was involved in the very famous educational discrimination situation back in the 70s, correct?
I'm not aware of that, but I
think so. Anyway, let's if it's the same guy, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. But he has a very good understanding of this. He's one of the people that have helped the people in the state of Minnesota try to bring our knowledge-based education back to our system. And he's written two excellent books, which everybody should get a hold of. And we can talk about that a little later. But as we go through the items again, then I've talked about the system of labor market boards, and then all jobs would be listed, and then provide the classroom and on-the-job training. That's part of the school-to-work system, business coming into the school. I'm not against some of these things. I'm just against the way it's being handled is all.
Yeah, are we truly moving toward a situation where, let's say, for example, one of these so-called labor market boards, are we moving toward a situation where one of these so-called labor market boards might say to an individual a school district or an individual school system, hey, look, we anticipate that that 5 years from now, we're 75% of the jobs that are going to exist in your section of the state of Minnesota are going to involve the production of widgets, and therefore we need for 75% of the students going through your school system by the time they're 13 years of age to be put in that wing of the educational system, that division of it that is oriented toward widget production. Is that what we're talking about here?
You're very close in your analysis. The federal government, through the school-to-work program, again, comes mandate comes down from the federal government with money attached to it. And that money goes directly to the governors in each state. They're the only elected people who have their hands in that money. Below the governor, everything that is created and this whole board labor board that is created is all done on the basis of being appointed. So we kind of lose control. The general public loses control of what's going on in that system. But that is what it's about. It's to. Do we have a break coming up here?
Yeah, we'll be back. And by the way, I just remembered that wasn't Alan Quist that I met that year in Seattle. It was Alan Bakke, my part. It suddenly came to me. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with James Ruggs, Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota, and his Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. James, we were talking just before the commercial break about the way this whole thing works in regard to all of this federal money being provided to governors of states who then presumably then take it to the next level in regard to the way that this whole thing is centrally managed. Go ahead.
The School to Work program, by the way, I sat on the first year of the implementation of this new School to Work program in my state. I sat on one of the boards that was developing this for the first year. That's how I learned a lot about what was happening within the system and realized that it was a federal, not a local system. And I resigned from it because I can't be part of something that is in contrast with our Constitution. The way the School to Work system is set up, each community has its own board, which brings the school to work program to their community. And the idea is to get businesses within that community to come to the schools and present their what they need in the workforce to the students, for the businesses to go out, or the school students to go out to the businesses and have on-the-job training in certain areas, and basically fill, as you had mentioned earlier, fill the slots that need to be filled in the local community through the people that are graduating from the system. That's kind of basically what it's all about. But it's a federal system that controls the direction that people go in their lives. They either go directly to the workforce or to a vocational system, or a small amount of them, the elites, for example, go to the higher collegial system.
Yes, and so you have a situation where, getting back to what you were talking about before, you have kids entering the state-run educational process at a far earlier age than ever before through the Head Start programs and the preschool programs and so forth. So that's going on at that end of the life spectrum. And then by the time they're, say, 13 years of age, this centrally managed system is in most cases putting them into slots according to what these labor market boards think is where they need to be, and that right there ensures that, say, 80% of the students are not receiving an academically based education. And then you throw on top of that the fact that you have a system that is oriented toward globalism. It's oriented against nationalism. It's oriented against an original intent understanding of our Constitution. It's oriented against any belief in a supreme being. It's oriented toward the idea that the state is the ultimate agent of socialization and not the nuclear family. So to me, when you put all of that together, this is a pretty scary entity that we're talking about.
Well, it's absolutely, I've dedicated the last years of my life to trying to bring this information to the general public. It's that serious, I think. And I think we have an obligation as a people who have benefited from this system to see that our children in the future have the same benefits that we are, or even better benefits than we had. This education system, to give you an idea of from the money standpoint, the amount spent on per pupil has over doubled in the last 30 to 40 years, adjusted for inflation. At the same time, the curve of knowledge of literacy has dropped significantly and steadily through that period of time. So there's no question that we have a lot of very smart people in the education system, and what's happening is happening by plan, not because they don't understand what's happening. That's an important point.
And is it safe to say, and of course Charlotte Iserby is not on with us today, it would be great to maybe get both of you folks on at the same time and to stay on for 3 hours to take us even deeper into the implications of all of this. But isn't it safe to say that when you have a so-called dumbed-down system, that this produces a level of passivity intellectually and otherwise that makes people all the more malleable in regard to accepting the presuppositions of the so-called globally managed New World Order without even knowing or having a basic understanding of what's happening?
If you don't know history, then you can't avoid the problems that history has solved as you move forward. And that's part of the plan. Civics is not taught. That's the understanding of our government. History is not taught. The mistakes made by previous generations are not understood. The idea towards regionalism is moving forward. Our borders have been open, as you well know, by design. They're not closed yet. The president has no intention of closing them. He'll do everything he can to keep the borders open. This is just simply an agreement made between the different nations of the world through NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, World Trade Organization, and the like, which you mentioned earlier, that is moving us toward the away from nationalism and toward international governance.
Yes, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, and we didn't delve into it too much, and sometime I'd like to do an entire show on the topic, is this whole subject of Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21, and why should the listeners care about it?
Well, it's very important because Agenda 21 is the blueprint for the development of the new governance system that we've been talking about pretty much this morning. And people need to go to Agenda 21. You know, they have to spend some time on this because you don't pick up what's going on right away. There's so much rhetoric that is part of this, the description of these systems that are in play, that it's, you know, you get bowled over with all of the positive words if you're not careful, and you have to pick out what direction they're moving us. And the Agenda 21 is moving us kind of in two basic areas. One which you may have heard about is sustainable development. And sustainable development is the idea that we can't use our resources faster than the Earth can generate them. And anything we do that's counter to that has to be corrected. And the other is biocentric diversity, where the value of every living thing, whether it's a blade of grass or a human being, has equal value. So we must be cognizant of every move we make in the development of our governance system so that we don't in any way injure any of our living beings. There's a book called Education for Sustainable Development Toolkit. The United Nations just has passed, or maybe a year or so ago, the first 10 years of their educational change was focused on multiculturalism and diversity. Now the next 10 years is going to be focused on sustainable development. And this toolkit explains how to implement sustainable development in the schools, which of course has to be, in order to do that, they have to remove even more of the academics that have been already been put to the sideline in order to accommodate the new idea of sustainable development. So this is very important to understand. The United Nations gets into so many more areas than education. Education just being one of the tools used in the development of this idea of world government. And many of the other ideas that Agenda 21 refers to are in effect in our economy and in other areas of the functioning of our society. You've probably heard of smart growth. Well, smart growth is basically a UN idea. They're pushing the idea of rail systems over automobiles because they want to get rid of automobiles. One of the missions of Agenda 21 is to remove 50% of the land from accessibility of the public. So to sustain the Earth as it was before the humans became part of it. So, and we're kind of a long way along those roads if you start checking what's happening in your individual communities. Many have been transformed or in the process of being transformed toward this area of sustainability.
You know, as you talk, James, there's a bitter, very strange irony that strikes me. Is it safe to say that although the United States is credited with defeating the Soviet Union in the Cold War, that's something that constantly comes up when you watch these history documentaries on public TV and they're talking about the presidency of Ronald Reagan, yet it seems to me that all these years later, one could argue that culturally and economically and politically, the Sovietization of the American system has gone far enough that you might argue that in a backdoor kind of way, the Soviet system has won. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think there's no question about that, at least to the extent that we are, we have moved in that direction to this point. We're not all the way there yet, but as I said before, this is a very patient system that's in operation. And
well,
the people, go ahead.
You're very clearly, and I say this sincerely with what I know about you and what I know about Charlotte Iserby, you're very clearly a person who understands the educational process. I consider myself a student of yours and of Charlotte's, along with many of my listeners. You're obviously someone who has worked at various levels of government in the state of Minnesota, trying to get professional educators and parents to see what's going on here. In regard to how far advanced this centrally managed planned New World Order system is, and the so-called Sovietizing of our own educational system is concerned, if it has gone this far, do you have any optimistic belief whatsoever that the trend can be reversed? And if it can be, how do you think it would be reversed, and what kind of time frame would we be talking about?
When I bring to the general public what's happening as we're doing this morning, is on an individual basis, on a one-to-one basis with people in the general public, I get about 10 minutes into this idea, the things that we've been talking about, and you can just see their eyes glaze over. What we have is a system where the people have been taxed to the point where everybody in the house is working. They don't have time for their children anymore. We've destroyed the family structure through this process. We're moving toward a complete controlled society through this planned idea that we've been talking about. We have to find some way to break through the barrier of the present mindset of the general public. It's going to be very hard because they have not been brought, the media has not brought any of this information to them through any of the sources of the media. And for that reason, this is also part of the plan. The Bilderberg Group, which you're familiar with, David Rockefeller gave a speech a couple of years ago at the Bilderberg Group, which is a bunch of deep-pocketed people from around the world that pull the strings of the United Nations through the banking system and other ways. He gave a speech thanking the media, the written media and the media over the air, for not exposing what has been going on, because they understand that if the general public really understood what was going on, that would be the end of it. And you ask whether I think that there's any hope. I'm not a very smart person, so I always am an optimist on these things. And I think you have to be optimistic. You just can't throw the towel in. There's many, many people much more knowledgeable than I have thrown the towel in. But strange things happened in politics, and if something could come along and throw a bolt into the gears of this whole mechanism, and that's what I'm hoping for, and I think that it could happen. I'm not willing to give up until they come to my door and ask me to sign in when I leave.
Yes, and you know, as one of the things as I listen to you talk about this. You know, I obviously, as a radio person, I talk to a lot of folks, not only on the air, but off the air. And when I'm chatting with people in San Antonio who don't even know who I am, we might chat in a restaurant or something or some other place where people still engage in informal conversations on social and political matters. It seems to me that a lot of people who are relatively uninformed or really uninformed are nonetheless coming to the conclusion that something is wrong. Something is wrong with their individual lives. Something is happening to them economically. Something is happening to their family structure. They feel very isolated and disoriented. And perhaps, just perhaps, within the seeds of that generalized discontent that doesn't necessarily have the philosophical and historical and ideological foundation to understand it, but to the extent that they're feeling it, maybe this is the beginning, just maybe, of a movement towards some constructive change when people like yourself, largely operating outside of the corporate media and information structure for obvious reasons, begin to present this material in a way that suddenly begins to turn some lights on for folks that have not been enlightened up to this point.
Well, you mentioned earlier the From Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo. I have purchased that film, and I'm going to do whatever I can to see that it's offered to the public in my community, and I'm hoping other people in other communities do the same thing. because it's one of the areas that will help to break the barriers of apathy and the sheeple mentality that we have in this country today. And people have got to wake up very soon, because we are far along on this whole process. And the bolt that I hope will find its way to the gears had better come fairly soon, because we're moving. You know, when these processes begin, they begin very slowly. But as they build a power, then they begin to move more quickly. And that's what we're in. That's the stage we're in today. Is we're moving. This whole process is moving ahead very, very quickly, and people have got to start connecting the dots, not listening to what their political people are saying, but watch what they're doing. That's the important thing.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned in the last 10 minutes of our show for James Rugg and his citizen awareness of the restructuring of education.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073, or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280, or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years, with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James Rugg, R-U-G-G, of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education Organization. And in these final minutes, I wanted to mention a couple of items. One is that this coming Monday, Mark Dankoff's America will be picked up by a conventional 50,000-watt station in Memphis, Tennessee, and what we hope will be the expanding of the constituency of this program through the Republic Broadcasting Network. And hopefully over time, there will be the acquisition of some additional affiliates that will bring RBN not only to our shortwave and internet constituencies and our archives browsers, but also to folks in conventional radio who are beginning to recognize the value of the Republic Broadcasting Network. And that includes not simply this show, but a number of the other shows that are offered on this network that are to be found nowhere in terms of corporate news media. And James Rugg, in regard to the whole issues that we've been talking about in these last 3 hours, I would like to say that at some point I'd like to bring you back on the show and maybe have Charlotte Iserby on and to really delve into some of these individual items in greater depth than is possible when we're simply doing an overview. And in regard to your contact information, do you have any websites or any email addresses that you'd like to publicize while we still got you?
If anybody's interested, I have a website address, jsrugg at Juno, JUNO.com.
And that again is jsrugg at Juno.com.
That is correct.
And go ahead.
Well, I was wondering if it would be appropriate to give your listeners some data for books that they could look at.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my pet things on this show is to bring those kinds of educational resources in. Go ahead.
Well, certainly The Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Iserby is almost a textbook of what we've been talking about this morning. America's 2000 Goals 2000 by James R. Patrick, moving the nation educationally to a new world order. Beverly Ekman, E-A-K-M-A-N, has written The Cloning of the American Mind and Educating for a New World Order. Excellent books. We mentioned Professor Alan Quist. He has written, if you want to learn about education, pick up his book, Fed Ed, The New Federal Curriculum and How It is Enforced, and another book, The America's Schools, The Battleground for Freedom. And they can be picked up at their website at www.edwatch.org. And Beverly Ekman is at www.beverlye.com. And Charlotte Iserby with their Dumbing Down of America is www.delibrate, Dumbing, Deliberate Dumbing Down. DUMBINGDOWN.com, as it sounds.
And from time to time, I will mention those resources again on the air with some of my upcoming shows, reinforcing what we've talked about today. My thanks to James Rugg of St. Cloud, Minnesota, and the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Mark Dankoff's America signs off today live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you Monday when we'll also be broadcasting through our new affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee. God bless you.